Hello and welcome to another episode of the Selfish Podcast. Today we have Ayana Miller. So welcome, Ayana. It's great to have you here. Can you just share with myself and the audience, where in the world are you and what time of day is it for you?
I am from Trinidad and Tobago, and my city place is sunny right now, and it is 12:07 p.m.
Oh, nice. And 6 hour difference for us. It's 6 in the evening for me here in Spain, and it's sunny here too, so we both got that in common.
Wow.
Nice weather. I always like to start with knowing where the guests are from, because I think it's beautiful we can connect in this time in such ease and such distance.
Exactly.
Yeah, what I like to know, to get more personal with my guests and to know them better, is to start with their childhood. Can you paint me a picture of what life was like for you, say pre 10 years old?
Life has been, how should I say, you know, it have had its ups and downs. I'm an only child of both parents, you know, trying to find who Ayana really was, trying to fit in. I liked dancing a lot, but to me, I never got that push to actually, you know, to do what I actually love. To me, you know, I never lived with my dad, so I didn't have that father figure, that love, you know, to show me what true love is, should I say. So I actually looked for love in all the wrong places. And I wasn't confident with myself as well.
How did you find school as a child? What was school life in Trinidad?
It was not bad, you know, different cultures. It was nice, you know, you're interacting with different people, and I love to interact with different people. Should I say, growing in school, you know, primary school, I went to an all-girls school, an Anglican school, which was really strict. I did dancing there. My mom went to that school, so, you know, it passed on. It was fun, you know, I still have friendship with some of the, you know, my classmates. Then I went on to secondary school. It was a little bit different, but, you know, I coped with it. Because, I mean, you have to deal with different cultures, and it's really good to learn from that as well. And, you know, knowing that your parents would had to put you through to school, I tried my best to, you know, to make sure I did my best for my parents, and my mom was proud of me because I wanted to come out somebody good.
Yeah, I think that's a lot for a lot of people. It's the same for me. The main reason I stayed in school and put any effort in was only for my father's sake. You know, you just want them to feel that you're doing something that they could be pleased with.
Yes.
And how do you remember, like, when you was young, like the first thing you ever thought you wanted to do, be, or become, like your first dream?
I wanted to actually be a dancer, but I wanted to migrate. I always wanted to go to the US and go to a different country and be a flight attendant. That was my dream. But it all changed. So it was either flight attendant or, you know, doing law. I did start at law. It was a little difficult, you know, with financing and stuff. With dancing, you know, I still dance as I get, you know, my older, like 20s, I still continue dancing, but I didn't get that full experience and, you know, wasn't able to travel being young, but I got actually travel in my 30s. And I really did appreciate that. And I thank God for that, you know, because I worked my way up and I fulfilled that dream.
Oh, nice. And what comes to mind first, not necessarily your earliest one, but what just floats to your mind when I say, what was a struggle early in your life?
My struggle is basically, you know, dark skin and complexion. So as my complexion and being accepted for who I am. So, you know, different cultures, you will be treated differently. And that was a problem for me. Yeah, even in family, you know, some family members are treated differently for different reasons. So that played a part. And it hurt. It really had hurt a lot.
Yeah, so you was getting that judgment from other people of similar colors but different tones, is what you're saying.
Yes. So, you know, you want to do something like modeling or different things you want to do, but they prefer to choose somebody of a lighter complexion than what you are and give you that opportunity and look for the best in you that you can do it, you know, bypass your physical appearance.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually had a guest maybe 10 episodes ago, really a lovely lady, and she was African-American, and her struggle she brought about was also similar, but she was fair-skinned. She goes, her and her sisters just were fair. Her parents were dark, but she goes, they just come out fair-skinned. And she goes, her school was mainly African-Americans, but they bullied them because they were too light. And they said, wow, they really suffered from the pressure that they weren't dark enough. And that was a real struggle for her.
Wow.
I think it's so easy that people can put judgments on any differences that doesn't fit into that, whatever the majority is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you find, like, if you found anything when you were younger, what did you find gave you some form of peace or balance with coping with that?
Dancing. Because dancing, I could express myself. Even when, you know, I entered Queen Choose, I got the opportunity with a modeling agency in Trinidad, with House of Jackie, Miss Jackie Kuno. And, you know, she saw the potential in me. She gave me the opportunity. And I was a little scared and still, you know, two-minded, because I was thinking, these girls are pretty light-skinned, so, you know, they will win the shows, or they will do better than me. So I still had that doubt within me.
Hmm. Did you find...
But, you know...
Yeah, I was just going to say, did you find that putting you... Is it like, was you dancing in a group, or was you dancing on your own? Because I'm thinking, if you was having to perform sort of on your own...
I dance in a group, and as well, for a queen show, I dance as one of my talents. So to me, it helps me express myself.
Yeah, and it must really build your courage and confidence, because you're expressing yourself to other people as well, not just on your own.
Exactly. And then when I'm home, you know, I'll probably put on the music and dance for myself. You know what? Not having anyone to teach me, it was like basically self-taught.
Yeah. And how would you describe the type of dancing that you love to do? Which is it like a freestyle? Is it traditional?
It's cultural. I did Indian dance. I did spiritual dance. I did calypso. And I have something called Best Village in Trinidad. You know, we have cultural with acting and drumming and different things like that. So basically, that is what I did.
Oh, nice.
And modern dance. So I never tried jazz, or should I say ballet. I never got the opportunity to try that. I wanted to, but of course, with my age now, I can't even do it. That is out the window. Yeah. But
so now you're obviously older than you was when you was a teenager dealing with these things. How do you feel that event has... Like, how does it play a part in your life now with your skin complexion and your confidence and where you are in life?
I am more confident. Yes, as I got older, I started to lie, you know, with friends with lighter complexion, or thinking that, you know, I will fit in because, you know, they are different from me, and, you know, thinking I'll be accepted because of them. But... And, you know, guys will like me, you know, because probably align with a sitting crowd, or you're doing something, they will like you for that. And I realize, you know, they don't really like you for who you are, or only what you can give. Yeah. And then, you know, I decided, you know, I need to accept Christ more, go to church, probably surround myself with different people that will, you know, uplift me, help elevate me. And I must say, my pastor, you know, encouraged me. And there was a pastor from the US, you know, she came and she told me, you know, you are special. You know, God loves you despite what. You are lovely. My mom always told me that, but yes, they're telling you that. But to you, you're still doubting yourself. But yeah. I came to reality, you know, if I keep doubting myself, I'll never reach anywhere. It will always keep me down. I'll never do what I want to do, or achieve what I want to do for myself and for my family.
Yeah, 100%. I always see self-doubt is a bit like, if you're full of self-doubt, it's a bit like getting in a car with someone that's really nervous and hesitant, and they're not going to get you to the destination, and they'll probably crash on the way.
Exactly.
But no, it's great to hear that you got through that, and again, like your mom said it to you, and sometimes when our parents say something, we can often just think you're saying that because I'm your child.
Like, yes.
It's sort of like, yeah, you're gonna say that, you wouldn't say anything different. So no, it's very nice that someone said that to you. And with faith and religion and that side of your life, was that something like you had from a child and then you drifted and went back to, or what, how was that in your life?
Yes, I went to church with my grandmom, and then, you know, you drifted as you get a teenager. As I say, you feel it to beg, you want to be outside in the world, you want to experience things, you want to go on party, you want to go and hang out. So I wasn't taking that seriously. And then after, you know, going through a lot in my life, especially with my son dad, I needed to step back and accept Christ. Yeah, because, I mean, that's the only person who would keep me strong and would have me grounded.
Mm.
Yeah, and that is the only person. Otherwise, I would have been a mess, a total mess. Thank God I had somebody to surround me, and my pastor was there like a father to me. So, you know, you get that buff. I probably wanted that, but I didn't get that from my father. That buff, I know, yes, this person really cared about me, because somebody who really care about you, they will buff you because they want to see you go on a straight and narrow way. And they want the best for you.
Yeah, and sometimes they tell you they're actually more, I find, people like that are more honest and truthful. They will tell you what you don't want to hear, but what you need to hear.
Exactly.
And how you said you have a son now? Is it just the one?
No, I have two kids. I have a son who's 8 years and a baby girl who's 11 months.
Oh, nice. And did you want to have more than one as you was an only child? Was there an ambition that you, or did you not have plans?
I wanted to have a kid, but to be honest, every time I got, you know, pregnant, I keep losing the baby, and that started to frustrate me. I was thinking, oh God, why are you doing this to me? Am I not supposed to have a child? And then I had my son, and I thinking, you know, with my son, that relationship would have lasted. This is the person I want to be with, settle down with. You know, I had my time already, but that didn't work out. So I said, okay, I'll accept as having one child. I'm fine with that. I didn't want any more. But then I came and got married, and I came and got my daughter about 4 months after. I said, you know, sometimes it's not what you want, it's what God wants for you. And children are a blessing and happen for a reason.
Oh, nice. What's your children's names?
Amani is the boy, and Gabriella is the little girl.
Oh, nice. And, you know, if you say if it's too uncomfortable, but I imagine other listeners, both male and female, have been through together certain aspects of life. Like, I see it's quite a big thing where people aren't able to have a child and they go through it. It's a very traumatic event to occur because there's so much expectations and excitement in the process, and then for that to be taken. How did you continue to, was it your faith, but what gave you the strength and the courage to just continue with life?
It's faith. And firstly, my son, having my son first, you know, watching him, I don't want him to be disappointed in me. I need to set an example for him. What I didn't have in life, I don't want him to face what I face. I always try to tell him, you know, I love you despite whatever someone tell you, are special in your own way. You are gifted in a different way. Don't try to be like anybody else. Be like yourself.
Oh, nice. And how do you find the process of being a mother yourself?
I must say, having my daughter, it was a little unexpected and a little challenging, especially when it came with COVID. So, you know, you have to be at home, you know, working from home, seeing about the baby and stuff like that. At first, it was really a little challenging, but then, you know, I started to cope with it. I said, God, you know, you give me the strength to deal with this and try and help me to be the best parent that I could be.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I was just going to ask you as well, with COVID, something that affected everyone in some way in the world. I have no idea what happened in Trinidad, but I know it seems to have affected pretty much everyone. So what happened in your life and how did you get through it?
So I started working from home. I got well I got married during COVID. So, you know, you didn't have the amount of people you wanted. Mm. And to me, I didn't have all the support that I think, you know, people would have been there for me. You know, when getting married, you know, sometimes people don't want the best for you. They probably prefer you to be out there aligning.
Yeah.
And then when I had the baby, you know, to go and have the baby in the hospital, I didn't have, you can have any family support with you. It was just you alone within the hospital. No family members to come and see you. So it was a little trying because, you know, some people say, you know, when you are pregnant, you have one foot in and one foot out. In Trinidad, they say that, but I don't know, you know, where else they'll usually say that. Mm. So I prayed a lot. Before I made my daughter, I prayed a lot. I said, you know, God, I just want a baby. How you want that child to be, not who I want that child to be. That everything is functioning and baby is healthy and I'm healthy and, you know, we come out successful. But I worked while I was pregnant because I'm a person, I don't like to sit down. So I worked on to the end.
Yeah.
And I even wanted to work, yeah, until I'm ready to go to the hospital. And I even wanted to work when I still had the baby because I just wanted to be active. I love to be active. I love to interact with people. I cannot sit down and not do anything.
Okay, so what was you doing for work? You said you you studied in law. Is it to do with that or something?
I did certificate in law. I did business management. Presently, I worked at a Ministry of Education for 6 years. I also worked at the fashion industry. One of my boss, she was from Paris, which I actually loved. And then I found myself in insurance industry. So one day I had my son, I said, you know what? I'm going to work for that insurance company, which is Guardian Life. And my son daughter told me, yeah, right, you can never work for them. And it was like the next month I started, I got the opportunity to work with them. So I'm there like 6 years now. And I'm a change analyst here as well. I'm a board of director at a credit union. So I always try to look for opportunities to uplift myself and better myself.
Nice. Did you find that working in insurance during COVID, was that something that was affected? Like, did it grow in during COVID or was it something that got put aside?
No, it wasn't affected because to me, with COVID, people actually found that they really needed insurance, especially health and stuff. Because if you have a husband and a wife and something happened to one family member, how will that person survive?
Yeah, because that's what I was just thinking when you said that's what you was working. I was thinking, oh, I think that industry might have gone up rather than down during this time.
Yeah, and people actually saw the importance of getting insurance as well.
Yeah.
I mean, COVID hit a lot in different countries and it made me realize, you know, you need to start to take care of your health as well. Yes, you're working, but if you can't take care of your health, how will you take care of your family?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of my guests that come on have online, they have a book or social media or something. As you're doing insurance, I imagine you're not sort of, that's not something you provide online, or whether you do it self-employed, but do you have a website or anything that people follow you on?
I am on Instagram. I had a small business. I wanted to, you know, to have my own little business. And what I actually love is, you know, public speaking and coaching. So I got the opportunity to be a change analyst. This is where, you know, I assisted in coaching unit managers and agents in a new way of working within the organization. So when I got that opportunity, I was like, yeah, I actually got to do something I actually love, speaking to people, seeing a change in mindset, you know, from people being down to make them smile.
Oh, nice. And is that an online service?
Yes, I'm working from home presently doing that.
Nice. Where can I and any listeners check it out?
Okay, so I'm on Instagram as Ayana Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
So they can follow me on Instagram as well. And I have a business page that, you know, I sell. Oh, sorry, Ayana Keisha 36. And I also have a business page, ling_ling_supplies.titty, that I, you know, started to bring in lash part you know, for lashes, you know, have lashes, loose hair products, doing different things in that area, you know, started to try off different things, you know, to be, to support my family as well, so that it can be financially stable as well.
Yeah.
And have my, you know, my children live comfortable as well, until I could really branch out and get to where I want to be with public speaking and coaching. So I even did a public speaking course as well.
Nice. I'll make sure to put them links in the description as well. So any listeners, you can go check it out. And yeah, what would you say drove you to public speaking? Was it just because you like to talk to people? And like you said, or was it because the change you saw in people?
I love the change in talking to people. And, you know, when I speak to people, people actually feel as if they're people. People say, Ayana, you could talk to anybody. Because, you know, sometimes you feel people are difficult to speak with and I interact with them well. You know, you're not... As if you can't judge somebody by just looking at someone. You must always give somebody the opportunity. I don't like to judge people.
Nice.
I like to look the best in people. Because, I mean, sometimes you don't know what people have been through, what struggles people have been through. And by you telling them a simple word to them might give them encouragement.
Yeah, it makes me think just like the pastor said to you. It's the same thing. Yeah. Like, just that they didn't have to give you a long speech, just a few simple words. And you said you felt it and it was like life changing.
Yeah.
Nice. What do you think if your younger self, let's say somewhere between 13, 15 years old, if they was to meet you now, how you are now, what do you think they would think of you?
They could think of me as somebody, you know, inspiring. Somebody, you know, who have went through struggles but overcome. And despite whatever challenges you have, you can still make it. Yeah. And that is the best feeling you will have when you overcome a situation.
Yeah, definitely. What do you feel is something that if someone is in a situation where they do have that obstacle they're trying to overcome, do you have any like tools or techniques or any simple things that you could suggest?
Pray a lot. Believe in yourself. Say, I can make it. Have a plan and a goal where you want to achieve. Yes, you will encounter different situations, different hurdles, but you will overcome it once you have that goal. And always remember, at the end of the tunnel, there's a light, a bright light that you can see.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I think it can be quite tough, especially like a lot of people in this time now with being isolated in certain ways over the last couple of years. They've had a lot of self-reflection, you know, and some people have seen the opportunities in their obstacles and seen that light at the tunnel, and there's still some that are searching out there. So it's, they said it can be a very turmoil time for some people. So I hope that shines some light to them and leads them down that tunnel towards the light.
Yeah. And I mean, you are special. Don't anybody tell you, try to break you down. As a female, don't let any man try to break you down. As a man, don't let any female try to think that, you know, you're not good enough. You have something special in you. You have a purpose.
Yeah, and it reminds me of when you said at the beginning when you wanted to surround yourself with uplifting people. It's like who you hang around with and the people you're around. If they're all... the type of people that bring you down, it's incredibly hard to grow and follow your purpose.
Exactly.
Like, it's sometimes you have to not forcefully distance yourself, but find some new people, find some inspiration. I encourage people just to go online and follow accounts of people like yourself who are putting out messages that are encouraging, because at least you read or see something encouraging every day. If you don't know anyone in that way, there's a lot of them online though.
All right.
Yeah, and I too share a lot on purpose, because I feel everyone has an innate, distinct purpose in life. And if you're not looking or you're not going with it, you're going to find a lot of discomfort in life. You're going to find a lot of frustration and friction in life. You know?
Exactly.
part of my journey was I was born into faith, but very loose. My nan had some sort of Christian Catholic background, but it wasn't super strong, and we were the grandchildren. She took us church and stuff sometimes, but when she passed away, that sort of faded out. And then I had a lot of like childhood trauma, and I prayed and I felt that I didn't get answers. So I sort of lost my faith for like 20 years. And I didn't feel that there was a God. I didn't feel there was any sort of anything other than just a cold reality of life, you know, and it took life to get worse and my perception to change. And that was a choice I had. And the moment I chose to live a life of faith, I was able to also live a life of joy. You know, and then, wow. And it's a different, I got to taste sort of both ends and see. So part of my message that I like to share with people is that power of faith, of just having faith in life itself, you know, that what's happening to you may just be what needs to happen, but not what you want, but you can find a way to use it to be of service, mainly to help others, to help animals, to help the environment, whatever your area of service is, but to be more productive, you know, and to give back to life.
Exactly.
Was there anything particular we haven't covered on the podcast that you was thinking before you came on that you really wanted to share or talk about?
No, I mean, I just hope people give, you know, especially young people, the opportunity and, you know, reach out to them as well. Because to me, I realized with COVID, I must say there were a lot of suicidal rates. Yeah, and broken homes. So to me, you know, love is a big part of it too, as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you don't love yourself, you can't love anybody else.
Yeah, and again, that was a journey I had to go through. I didn't realize I didn't love myself. You know, I've always been caring and kind, but not to myself. And I didn't really fully realize that until I had that revelation. And then I had to work towards it. And it was uncomfortable at the beginning. It wasn't easy. It took repetition. It took consistency. But that was a big part of a change for me to go in that direction. You know, and yeah, it made me kinder to others even more so.
Love is really important, especially now, in times we are living in.
Yeah, definitely.
Love those people despite what, you know, and give people that opportunity. Look for the best. To me, always look for the best in others.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's, like I say, it's easy to see sometimes something that can look wrong or uncomfortable. But at the same time, there's always something beautiful and something nice you could see. And it's your choice whether you want to, which one you want to talk about. I met a lady today. I was out by a beautiful river in nature. And there's a lady coming along and she's picking up rubbish as she goes going along the shore, just broken glass, bottle tops, plastic, and just collecting it. And we had a talk because I do the same everywhere I go, is pick up rubbish and put it away. And we both related over like the... When I see it as I'm lucky that I'm in a position to pick it up rather than getting angry or frustrated that it's there. Mm-hmm. Because if I get angry and frustrated, I just am the one that feels uncomfortable. You know, it's just me that feels bad, you know, and that anger doesn't serve anyone else. So I just try and look to be grateful and appreciative of wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, and try not
to make a change.
Yeah.
And make a change as well.
And I think that possibility of change. So thank you for coming on the podcast because you're sharing your story. And I think this is part of a journey for a lot of people. It's just hearing other people's life's journeys that there is a possibility of change. There is a possibility of growth. You know, life doesn't always have to be that painful.
Exactly.
You know? But no, yeah, so thank you so much for coming on. We're getting near to the end of the show. And I just have a few simple, short, fun questions to ask you. Do you have time for them?
Sure.
If you had to choose one, a cat or a dog?
Sorry?
If you had to choose one, a cat or a dog?
A duck.
What's your favorite color?
Pink.
And what would you say in the simplest terms? What excites you and motivates you?
What motivates me? My children.
Nice. What does the opposite? What like shuts you down and takes your energy down?
Sorry?
What does the opposite? What sort of shuts you down? What closes your energy down?
when someone, you know, when I can't get an opportunity to do something and somebody keep blocking me,
nice.
That negative energy.
Yeah. And what sound or noise do you love?
Rain falling on the rooftop.
Oh, nice. I do love that sound. It's very refreshing. I know I've met some people that said it's so horrible. And I'm like, oh, it's so nice. It's such a, so calming.
Yeah, I love it.
And what sound or noise do you not like so much?
A loud, unexpected bang.
Yeah. And what do you love about yourself?
I love that, you know, I could make others laugh and I could be me, Ayana, not somebody else.
Nice. What do you love to see in other people?
I love to see other people happy. Smile.
Nice. And very last question. What do you love about animals? This can be animals in nature or pets.
Puppy, I love Pompex, you know, the cute little dogs. Just to see them come to cuddle under you.
Nice. Well, it's been great to chat to you and hear your journey and your story. And was there any last words before we close the show?
Just want to say, you know, believe in yourself, have faith, and the main person that loves you is God. Don't think you are here by chance. You are here for a reason.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much. And thank you again, Ayana, for being on the show. And for the listeners, please check the description for all her links. And yeah, I really wish you the best. And yeah, great. Great to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Truly
thank
appreciate
you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for being.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for being open and authentic and being yourself, most of all.
No problem.
Have a beautiful day. I think you said it's early in the morning for you. Well, early afternoon for you.
It's so lunch, yes.
A whole day ahead of you. And it sounds like you're going to be busy because it sounds like you don't stay still too long.
No, I don't.
Right, enjoy the rest of your day and thank you again for being on the show.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Right. I just before we cut it, I'm just going to cut the podcast there. I was just going to say thank you again, and I will send you an email. Your podcast episode will be out in a couple of Sundays, but I will send you an email closer to the date with the links.
No problem, and you could always reach out to me if you need me for anything.
Thank you so much, and yeah, I'll send them. I've got you already sent your pictures and your links, I think, in the email as well. So I think I've got
everything. Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
All right, bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Selfish Podcast. Don't forget to like, comment, share, and leave a review if you can. It really helps other people find the content. And if you gain something from this, maybe someone else will too. I truly appreciate you being here. I'm grateful for every single one of you. You inspire me to continue to create content on YouTube, podcast, and as many platforms as I can online. So thank you so much. Big thank you to my patrons out there. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be online. If you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/LukeGreenheart. All the links will be in the description. And don't forget, you can get my free copy of my book, The Self, Who Am I? Which gives clarity to identity and direction to your purpose through beautiful insights and perception. So go check that out. You can get it free at lukegreenheart.com/free. Remember, links in the description. It's also available as a paperback on Amazon. Have a beautiful day. I truly appreciate you. Love life, love yourself, love others. Thank you again for being here.